Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Sibanda, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Zama, and your listeners. How are you?
Very well, thank you, man. I hope you're good.
I am very good. I'm very good. Finally,
we get to meet.
Thank you
Yes, finally we get to meet. And those who have been listening to us talking week in, week out, we have finally managed to meet with Mr. Sibanda, who is joining us in the studio. Well, he knows much more about the subject that we are going to be talking about. You know, during the holidays, you know, we're getting into the holidays, and I said earlier, schools are closing. It's important that children get the opportunity to spend time with both parents and also family members. And now, in instances where children, their parents are not living together, it can sometimes lead to uncertainty, confusion, disputes in respect of which parent the child will be staying with over the holidays. And so today, I want to explore how parents can navigate visitation and having contact with their children or their child in these instances. Now, Mr. Sibanda, what is the law say about this? I mean, it's a touchy subject for many. It's a highly emotive time. The mother has spent the whole year, presumably, with the children, and now it's December, and the father now says, okay, it's now my turn. Can I have the children? And a huge argument ensues because the mother is going on leave and she would like to spend some time with the children. And arguably, she's also been working and has not spent time. What happens? Please give us how do the parents then navigate this space?
Thank you, Zama. Thank you so much for the question. This is a very interesting topic that we are venturing into today. It's a very common occurrence, Zama, during a separation. And I think this is one of the things that you should have mentioned, because such things really wouldn't come up in a situation where the parties are living together.
Of course, yes.
Now, during a separation or divorce, it's a very common occurrence that the one parent, sometimes the one parent would like to deny the other parent access to the child. And this is actually even more common with what is referred to as fathers of children out of wedlock. So there are two aspects that we need to look at. One, it is parents who've been married and are going through a divorce or separation. And then we look at what we refer to as parents or fathers of children out of wedlock. Why am I referring to fathers? Because it is most commonly the fathers who are generally deprived of the right to access the children. Not to say that there are no mothers who may not have been deprived, but we concentrate on fathers
on because the majority.
The law in general has been skewed towards the mothers. Now, we start off with one problematic thing. We had a reference to what was called custody at some point in time, where somebody refers to custody, and when people go to court, you hear them talk about, no, I want to get sole custody of the child. And the courts found that this phrase, custody, is very problematic. So what they then said is, we must do away with this phrase that says custody. Because it then endows a person with certain power that naturally they shouldn't have.
Okay.
So now how we refer to it is we refer to it as primary residence and access. So now what we, the person who has what we would refer to as the custody of the child would now be referred to as the primary resident parent.
Okay.
Right? And then the other parent would have access to the child. This is to take away that problematic situation that says that somebody has custody of the child. Now, Section 28(2) of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa states that a child's best interests are of paramount importance, and every matter concerning a child must be dealt with in terms of the best interest of the child. Mm-hmm. So, what is in the best interest of the child? Mm. That is the primary question that we need to ask ourselves mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. everything that we deal with. Mm. It doesn't matter whether the mother has been working throughout the year. Mm. It doesn't matter whether the father has been working throughout the year. Mm. What is in the best interest of the child? Mm. Now, Section 9 of the Amended Children's Act also stipulates the issue of the best interest of the child. It talks about the best interest of the child and says, when dealing with matters that involve or affect the interest of a child, the best interest of the child are of paramount importance. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about when we talk about the best interest of the child? We must understand that the High Court in South Africa mm-hmm. is regarded as the upper guardian of the child.
Yes, yes.
So all decisions and all court processes that come to the High Court of South mm-hmm. Africa mm-hmm. are dealt with in consideration of the best interest of the child. And the High Court, as the upper guardian of the child, mm. is the final arbiter mm-hmm. in relation to the interest of the child.
Okay.
Now, I'll take you to a case, Zama, the case of McCall versus McCall. Mm-hmm. Justice King developed 13 factors mm-hmm. That we refer to as, determining mm-hmm. what we refer to as the best interest of the child.
Okay.
However, this was before the Children's Act of 2005.
Mm, I think we spoke about that in the past.
Yes, we have spoken about that in the past. Now, the Children's Act was then amended, and in Section 7 of the Children's Act, it now provides a comprehensive list of factors mm-hmm. of what we determine to be in the best interest of the child. Right. I'll also take you to another case. It's S versus versus M. You will note that all matters mm-hmm. that involve a minor child mm-hmm. are redacted in such a manner. This is actually to protect
the identity
of the child. Mm. So already the courts take into account the issue of the best interest of the child, and they would not like the name of the child, the name of the parties, to be out there in public, which is why it in all matters that deal with a child, they reduce to the initials. Right. In this case, they had to consider the application of the best interest of the child where they were the court that was dealing with a sentencing of an offender who was a parent.
Okay.
Right. The court emphasized the need to take a child-centered approach when determining the best interest of the child. And it held that Section 28 requires that the statutes must be interpreted and the common law developed in a manner which favors protecting and advancing the interests of the children. Mm-hmm. And courts must function in a manner which at all times shows due respect for the children's rights. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the court had to sentence an offender. Mm-hmm. However, they had to take into consideration the interest of the child of that particular offender. Mm. Now, we go back to, I spoke about the two sets of fathers. There's the fathers that are probably going through a divorce, fathers who are out of wedlock. Mm. They've got children out of wedlock. Often, those are told, no, you don't have rights to the child. This is my child, and so on and so forth. However, this is not the case because that particular father has rights to the child. This is normally such fathers at times, it will be fathers who are quite involved financially in the life of that child.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, whether the child is involved, the father is involved financially or not involved financially, the right to access the child is still there,
mm.
right?
Mm.
So, often what is conflated is the issue of whether, oh no, this person is not contributing, mm. is not paying maintenance, and therefore should be deprived
yes.
access to mm. the child.
We hear that a lot, actually.
That is what mm. happens quite often.
Mm.
Those processes are completely far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Even the courts themselves mm-hmm. are separate. There's a maintenance court
yep.
and the children's court.
Mm.
So when the maintenance court is dealing with an issue of maintenance,
mm.
it does not entertain whether the other party is maintaining or not maintaining the mm-hmm. child, because it's simply, the maintenance court simply deals with maintenance.
With maintenance
and
issues.
The children's mm-hmm. court deals with children's issues mm-hmm. and the access to mm-hmm. the child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chapter 3, Section 18 of the Children's Act provides what we call parental rights. You will see that the rights of access to the child mm-hmm, is embraced there.
Mm-hmm.
The right of maintenance to the child and so on. All those are embraced in that particular chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to this chapter, a mother and a father of a child share equal responsibilities.
I see.
Right. This now means that even an unmarried father who meets certain requirements, and those requirements are simply that that father must have at some point lived with the child, must have been involved in the life mm-hmm. the life of the child, or even if that father has never lived with that child, that father must have acknowledged that this is my child.
Mm-hmm.
And if he meets those requirements, mm-hmm. then he must have
access
to the child, and, mm-hmm. and he has parental rights. I'll talk a lot about the law,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to talk a lot about the law because the question was not simply about the law.
Yes, yes,
the
yes.
question was simply about how people can access, can a person access the child on visitations, who has got the right to visitation mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The next question that you would have been asking, Zama, mm-hmm. is can parties make an arrangement themselves?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Parties who have an amicable relationship and they understand each other, they can sit down and draft what is called a parental plan.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can negotiate a parental plan.
Mm-hmm.
Once they have negotiated a parental plan, what they basically do, what we generally then encourage
mm.
is that parental plan must be endorsed by the family advocate.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because there's certain things that happen. Things change.
Yes.
Relationships may change.
Yes,
somebody
yes, yes.
may, get married and so on and so forth, and the dynamics change.
Mm.
What you regarded as an amicable relationship when you separated then becomes an acrimonious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it then becomes difficult. Now the one parent is now complaining about, access to the child and so on and so forth. But
mm-hmm.
where there is a parental plan that has been drafted and has been incorporated in terms of Section 22(4)
mm-hmm.
Of the Children's Act, then that order can, because that has to be endorsed and made an order of court.
Mm-hmm.
So if a parent, contrary to the order that is made,
mm-hmm.
Section 35 speaks to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Section 35(1) speaks to that. It says, if any parent who has care or custody of the child, contrary to an order of court, then basically refuses the other person the right of access,
mm-hmm.
that person can be found guilty of contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take you very quickly to a case, one of the cases that happened quite recently, which is the case of BMGS versus MBS.
I think I remember that.
Right. Mm. In this case, the mother failed to comply with court orders despite being obligated by the court to provide access to the father. Mm. And as a result, the father filed an application for contempt of court. Mm-hmm. We know that the mother then was found to be in contravention of the court order and was sentenced to 12 months imprisonment. Mm-hmm. So these are the things that generally happen, because now it is fine, you know, when you are in contempt of the other party, then that's fine. But when you're in contempt of the courts generally
take a
serious stance in relation to that. So those are the implications. Now, the other question that you would have asked is, my child is quite intelligent. Mm-hmm. They can make a decision on their own. Mm-hmm. Can this particular child make a decision as to who do I want to stay with? Mm-hmm. Of course, a child who we believe that is old enough to make that decision, mm-hmm. that child can be allowed to make the decision. Mm-hmm. However, we must guard against what is called parental alienation.
I see.
Right. So generally what tends to happen is that the child lives with the mother or mm-hmm. lives with the father. Mm-hmm. And the father or the mother manipulates the child into believing that, you know, the other parent is bad,
is negligent, does not care, etc. Mm.
And then the child then starts to exhibit hostilities
towards that parent.
Mm. It is an unnatural response for a minor to be hostile to their parent.
Yes.
Right. It is unnatural. Mm. A minor who knows that is my father, that is my mother, would be happy to see their father.
Exactly.
Now, if that child is exhibiting such behaviors, then there's an act of parental alienation. Mm-hmm. And certain scholars say that, you know, parental alienation must be regarded in this case, it must be regarded as abuse. Mm-hmm. And obviously, apart from contravention of the law, it must be regarded as abuse and abandonment of the child, because what basically you are doing, you're alienating the child from the other parent. Mm-hmm. And that child is now put in a situation where they cannot relate to the parent.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. But there you have it. So, what I'm gathering here from the discussion that you've had so far is that it does not matter how one feels. It's not about how this parent feels about this other party, etc., etc. What the law says, and that the law must actually be followed. And if the law is not followed, the other party has a right to make an application. And if that application is not followed through, then they've got a right to approach the court again. So basically, it's not about, I was listening to a story, or I think it was on social media, where this lady, her and the partner are now estranged. And I think it was now December, now there's graduations of the child. And so the father says, okay, no, it's fine. I'm coming through, invited by the ex, to say, let's do something for the child. They have got their first graduation, which is at the primary or something.
Primary, but, yeah. Yes, when they moved from small school to big school.
Yeah.
It's a big graduation.
It's a big graduation, yes. And so the brother says, no, it's fine. I'm coming, but I'm going to come with my partner. And all hell broke loose, because this is about the child, she says. So if you're not going to focus on the child, I'm now thinking about the words that you were repeating, in the interest of the child. And so she says, this is about the child. If you want to bring your partner, perhaps you should just forget about this thing. And I thought to myself, this is in the interest of the child. So it means that the brother must then tell the current partner to say, sorry, you cannot come with me. While the partner is now literally part of the family, as it were, because she's now a partner to this one and by extension, a stepmother now to this one. So there are those gray areas where one may say, well, she's entitled to bar the ex-husband from coming because the issue is in the interest of the child. And if now this one is going to be coming with strangers in such an important event of a child, maybe then the mother is correct.
Interesting dynamic there, Zama. But the question really is it in the interest of the child?
Mm.
Is it in the interest of the child that you deny the partner who, I mean, I suppose if the partner has now introduced the child to this partner,
mm-hmm.
a relationship now starts to develop with this new partner.
Mm-hmm.
And this new partner is going to be in the life of this very child mm-hmm. for years to come.
Mm.
Now, the question still comes, is it really in the interest of the child?
Mm.
And from where I stand, I'm not convinced that that would be in the interest of the child. I'm thinking that that is more an emotive
mm-hmm.
Decision
mm-hmm.
because this person, I am doubting that that would have been the first time
mm-hmm.
they meet the child mm-hmm. in at the graduation.
At the graduation. Mm.
My sense would be that this person, if this child was allowed to visit
the father, they would have met
this partner.
Mm. Man, yeah, but I suppose we're going to have to come to a screeching end to our conversation. I do want to implore you out there, if you're listening, man, do make sure that you do everything in the interest of the child. And you hear the law is interested in the child and their well-being of the child. And it's quite important that we put them at the front. somebody says, we are papa, or partner, we are Cindy, thank you so much. By the way, we were having that conversation with Cindy Sibanda, who is a director and partner at MSM and Associate. Thank you, sir, for coming through. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much, Sama. It was lovely meeting you.
Lovely. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.